Hello, I am Sarah Baslow-Millar, partner in and chair of Drinker Biddle & Reith's Employee Benefits and Executive Compensation Practice. Welcome to DBR's new podcast series, ERISA at 45. During this series, we will explore how ERISA and related laws have impacted the employee benefits landscape and what you should be thinking about in the months and years ahead. Today, I'm speaking with Jeremy Pelfrey, a partner in our LA office, and we're talking about ESOPs. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, Sarah.
As we look at this being the 45th anniversary of the enactment of ERISA, how has the world of ESOPs evolved over the years?
I think that the world of ESOPs has evolved most recently and with a focus on fiduciaries and their process and transactions. To take a step back for a moment, ESOPs are a retirement plan that specifically are permitted to borrow money to purchase employer securities in the company sponsoring the plan. And typically, the plan will have a trustee or a fiduciary to negotiate and effectuate the transaction. And over the past few years, as I said, there's been a significant focus by governmental entities, in particular the U.S. Department of Labor, on the process that the fiduciary follows in negotiating and ultimately consummating a purchase transaction. And as a result of that focus, we've received and negotiated with the Department of Labor several process agreements that dictate and set forth the view and procedure that the Department of Labor would like each fiduciary to follow in a ESOP transaction.
What are the current trends you're seeing in the ESOP area?
The current trends that we're seeing in this space is an uptick in the what's referred to as 100% transaction. And that is, you know, all of the shareholders of a company decide to sell all the stock to the ESOP in one transaction. And one of the major reasons for this trend is that because of the financial magnitude of a complete 100% buyout, there's a greater need for new sources of capital. And private equity firms are becoming more interested in the ESOP transactions to provide the mezzanine capital for larger transactions. And management sellers or minority sellers will often participate in junior lending or mezzanine financing through the issuance of debt. The other reason for the trend towards, you know, 100% transactions is that a subchapter S corporation that is 100% owned by an ESOP will be exempt from paying federal income taxes. So we've seen, you know, both an increase in whole 100% transactions as well as, you know, private equity interest in lending in those transactions. And also we've seen a trend in private equity in general utilizing an ESOP as an exit strategy for their portfolio companies. Finally, we are also seeing somewhat of a trend within Congress, a renewed trend or push to expand employee ownership through various initiatives. Last year, we saw the Main Street Employee Ownership Act that expanded the employee ownership concept to small businesses through SBA lending. And right now on the campaign trail, we have Bernie Sanders pushing for more expansive employee ownership in utilizing the Vermont model of employee ownership as a basis for the more expansive employee ownership throughout America.
Interesting. So what I hear you saying is we're seeing these trends towards 100% transactions, which has implications for some of the private equity firms in terms of their interest in using ESOPs as a way to divest themselves of a company, as well as other aspects. And then we also have Congress and some potential legislative activity pushing for greater employee ownership. How do you relate those two trends back to the DOL activity on the fiduciary front and the process agreements? In other words, as we look at the DOL priorities and the fiduciary governance concerns that they've highlighted through the process agreements, and we compare that to what's happening with the current trends towards 100% transactions and a push for expanding employee ownership, what are some of the implications for that fiduciary governance process, and what should employers be thinking about from a fiduciary perspective as they consider pursuing ESOP transactions?
I think that the position of the Department of Labor in issuing and initiating these process agreements and agreeing to these process agreements for fiduciaries to follow in transactions has led to a certain extent, the comfort in transactions going forward. And in particular, as I said, private equity lending in transactions and being more comfortable that as long as the fiduciaries in the transaction are following the processes outlined by the Department of Labor, that there's a greater level of comfort for private equity and lending in these transactions, and the risk to them on their debt is substantially reduced.
So in other words, is it fair to say that following that DOL process agreement as it's currently contemplated is generally sufficient to address the risks, even as those risks present themselves to PE companies?
I think so. I think that over the years, private equity has seen the process agreements and realized that, this is really a roadmap for fiduciaries to follow to comply with what the Department of Labor believes is a prudent process in a transaction, which, in following that prudent process as outlined by the Department of Labor, there is, less risk that the department would later on question, the transaction as a whole.
What has been the impact of ESOPs in the marketplace?
Well, I'd like first to respond to this question by saying that, there is data as recently as 2017 by the National Center for Employee Ownership that indicates that ESOP companies are 25% more likely to stay in business than their non-ESOP counterpart. It also indicates that employee owners were 4 times less likely to be laid off during periods of recession. The research also indicates that employees in ESOP companies may have a greater retirement account than traditional 401k and profit sharing plan companies, as much as 2 times greater account balances upon retirement. And finally, the research also shows that wages may be up to 8 to 12% higher in ESOP companies. And so this data suggests that the trend in ESOPs in becoming more common is impacting employers to a great extent, such that they're seeing more satisfied employees, employees that are more interested in the financial well-being of the company that they work for, and that they have a certain level of comfort in their employment such that they're less likely to be laid off. And so I think that the overall, trend in the marketplace as it pertains to ESOP transactions is that employers look at the transactions and the plan itself as being a win for them, and the employees look at it as a win for their retirement.
What do clients need to be aware of with respect to ESOPs in the next year or the next few years?
I think clients should be aware, if they're not already, of the Department of Labor's process agreements. And in transaction, the requirement to follow a prudent process as outlined by the Department of Labor in completing a transaction. And I think that clients also need to be aware that on an annual basis, the administration of these plans, which are retirement plans, must also, to a lesser extent, follow the same processes as set forth in the process agreements. I also think that clients should be following their congressperson, because we have seen, as I said, over the last few years, a greater focus by various congressional leaders on expanding employee ownership, because there is a more well-accepted view that ESOPs, through their expansive employee ownership, increases the retirement accounts of employees and the people of America. And that, you know, to the extent that employers and the public in general can get behind their congressperson that are supporting these initiatives and these legislation, that it would be beneficial both to them as employers and to the community as a whole.
Great. Thank you so much, Jeremy. We really appreciate your insights.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sarah.